In the world of news, stories usually fall into one of a few predefined categories. There's big news, small news, man bites dog, man loses dog, dog and man rekindle, get a small pied-à-terre in the Upper West Side. But the point is, there are these very narrowly defined categories. Back in the early days of radio, if your news didn't fit into one of the categories, you were out of luck. Well, here at the BPP, we've broken new ground in the field. We found a place for all that stuff. We call it the Ramble.
Okay, all across this country, there was the story of the first baby born in 08. I think in New York, the baby's name was Isabella. Well, in El Paso, Texas, the first baby of the new year was just 11 minutes after midnight Central Time. She weighed in at 7 pounds, 14 ounces, and her name is Abigail Leah Tabor.
Nice.
Leah. Mm-hmm. Leah. It might not be that unusual name unless your older brother's names are Lucas and Anakin, which in this case they are. That's right. The parents are apparently big Star Wars fans.
Now, Lucas, I could see living with and not causing too much of a stir. It's Anakin that's the trouble.
That's a little problematic.
Because, you know, he's going to be saying things like, "The ability to tie one's shoes is insignificant next to the power of the Force."
And let's just hope that kid, for many reasons, doesn't have asthma. But if he did, the breathing heavy would be really, really an issue. And we should point out that their last name is Tabor, as in lightsaber.
Tabor.
Luke Tabor.
It's like, "Anakin, I'm sorry to tell you there is no Santa Claus. I find your lack of faith disturbing." I got a million of them. In a related story, 10% of parents later regret the names they give their children.
Related news.
Yeah, that's according to a study by BabyCenter.com. The author of that study, Ichabod Scott Baio McGillicuddy, was not available for comment. Oh, I'm just kidding. It's Ichabod Fonzie Baio McGillicuddy. The study does point out that regret is sometimes common after any big decision. It's possible to change your child's name, although it does involve a lot of bureaucratic hoops.
Well, also, the woman who they quoted in the article from this other website said that sometimes parents are trying to get their kids to change their names at 4 and 5, like trying to talk little Sophie, because there's 19 Sophies, into changing her name.
Exactly.
And they were describing that sometimes the kids just aren't having it.
That's what happens. You don't realize that. You think you're on the cusp of a trend, and then elementary or kindergarten hits, and it's like, oh, everyone's named Max. Interesting.
Yeah. Ava. All right, speaking of name remorse, Britain is no longer calling it the War on Terror. The British government dropping the phrase War on Terror. That's according to the country's chief prosecutors. British officials say they are concerned the phrase could act as a recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda. Now, of course, U.S. politicians and military folks have gone back and forth on this War on Terror label as well. Donald Rumsfeld even said he didn't like it. Back in April, the Democratic Congressman Skelton of Missouri said he wouldn't use War on Terror anymore. Vice President Cheney called him, quote, dead wrong.
So what are the British calling it? Sophie?
Exactly. Anakin.
It's one of those things where there's a good argument because, you know, you could say War on Terror, terror is the tactic.
Yes.
It's like calling World War II the War on Submarines and Planes.
Yeah,
so, like, there's an intellectual point there for sure. But do you remember all the rigmarole they had to go through when they tried to rebrand it with the new name?
Yes. The president, when he was campaigning for re-election, said, "We actually misnamed the War on Terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world." And if that was an acronym, it would be SEUNDEVISCHUSWATIFISCAFT.
Play that backwards and it sounds just as unintelligible. We've got the latest on that tiger attack from the San Francisco Zoo, as reported by the San Francisco Chronicle. Because everyone's wondering, you know, what happened there? We know the walls were supposedly short, but why would the tiger attack? The two brothers who survived the attack have hired attorney Mark Garagos. If the name sounds familiar, it's because you've been watching Larry King. He's represented Michael Jackson, Winona Ryder, Scott Peterson, Susan McDougal, every celebrity defendant. Garagos says the tiger attacked his clients at least a half hour before someone called 911, someone from the zoo. A police log entry quoted in the San Francisco Chronicle does suggest that zoo workers thought the brothers may have been deranged or making up the tiger attack, and that the nature of the first 911 call may have delayed police responses. The zoo's new spokesman, Sam Singer, urged people to wait for the official police report and responded to Garagos's allegations by saying, quote, "Anything that a defense attorney says has to be taken not with a pinch of salt, but with a ton of salt."
Did you say new spokesman?
Well, yeah. What happened to the old one?
That's my question.
He went the way of the tiger, maybe?
I don't know. Just curious.
Well, a tiger can't change its stripes, but apparently a zoo can change its spokesman. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is The Ramble.